Lady Cecilia had noticed the shadow in the tube only a moment before her new captain came aboard. She could have wished for less promptness. She would have preferred to finish reaming out her nephew and the residue of his going-away party in the decent privacy afforded by her household staff. Bates knew better than to stick his nose in at a time like this. But the woman was ex-military, and not very ex, by her carriage and expression. Of course she would not be late. Even her hair and toenails probably grew on schedule. Cecilia wanted to throttle the condescension off the dark face that rose serene above the purple and scarlet uniform. No doubt she had no nephews, or if she did, they were being lovingly brought up in boot camp somewhere. She probably thought it would be easy to remake Ronnie and his set. Whereas Cecilia had known, from the moment of Ronnie's birth, that he was destined to be a spoiled brat. Charming, bright enough if he bothered, handsome to the point of dangerousness with that thick, wavy chestnut hair, those hazel eyes, that remaining dimple, but spoiled rotten by his family and everyone else. He had expected her to let them all travel with him, all 20 or so of his favorites among his fellow officers and their sweethearts of both sexes. She'd ignored that, smiled at her new captain, and called Bates to take the captain to her quarters. And away she went, impossibly bright-eyed for this hour of the morning. No adolescent partying had disturbed her sleep, her trim figure making the girls in the room look like haggard barflies. Which they weren't, really. It was terrible what girls did these days, but these were decent girls, of reasonably nice families. Nothing like hers, or Ronnie's, except Bubbles, the snoring one, and the present cause of dissension, but nice enough. With a last glance at the captain's retreating form, she turned back to Ronnie.
"What is not fair, young man, is that you are intruding on my life, taking up space on my yacht, making my staff work harder, and all because you lacked the common sense to keep your mouth shut about things which no gentleman discusses."
Sulky. He had been sulky at one, at two. His parents had doted on his adorable tantrums, his big lower lip. He was sulky now, and she did not dote on the lip or the tongue behind it.
"She said I was better. It's not fair that I'm getting sent away when she's the one who said it. She wanted to be with me."
"She said it to you in the confidence of the bedroom. And you don't even know if she meant it or if she says it to everyone."
"Of course she meant it. I am better."
"I won't argue. I will only remind you that you may be better in bed with the prince's favorite singer, but you are now on my yacht by order of your father and the king, and the singer is stuck with the prince, literally and figuratively. You're here and he's there, and you've gained nothing by blabbing except whatever momentary amusement you shared with your barracks mates."
Cecilia knew the odious George, who had well earned the nickname everyone in society knew, and his father fairly well, and dismissed the snicker as an unconscious copy of his father's courtroom manner. She supposed it went over well in the junior mess of the Royal Space Service, where the young sprouts of aristocracy and wealth flaunted their boughten commissions in the intervals of leave and training. She ignored the side glances of her nephew and his crony.
"You're the one who talked. The lady didn't. Therefore, you are in trouble and you are sent away. And it's my misfortune that I happen to be near enough to serve your father's purpose."
He opened his mouth to say something else she was sure she would not want to hear.
"It's better than it could have been, young Ronald, as you will see when you quit feeling sorry for yourself. And I am stretching my generosity to let you bring these..."
She waved her hand at the others.
"When it crowds my ship and wastes my time. If it weren't that Bubbles and Buttons were going to Bunny's anyway..."
"Well, in fact, they don't want to go."
"Nonsense. I've already sent word I'm bringing them. A season in the field will do you all immense good. And I don't want any of you sneaking off ship to cause trouble on the station before we launch. It's bad enough having to wait for your luggage. I shall have your father pay the reset fees for changing the launch schedule. I hope he takes it out of your allowance."
"But that's not..."
She held up her hand before Fair could emerge and decided to drop her own bombshell now.
"And by the way, my new captain is ex-regular space service, so don't try any of your tricks with her. She could probably tie you all in knots without trying."
Cecilia turned on her heel and walked out. satisfied that she had given them something besides her hard-heartedness to think about. It was too bad, really. She lived on her yacht, precisely so as to avoid family complications, just as she had avoided marriage and political service. They could have found some other way to keep Ronnie out of the capital for a year or so. They didn't have to use her, as if she were a handy piece of furniture. But that was Berenice all over again. Big sisters existed to be of service to the beauty of the family. Stores. She would have to check with Bates to be sure they had ordered enough additional food. After last night, she suspected they might need more. Young people did eat so, when they ate. That miserable decorator Berenice had sent her to insisted on doing the whole ship in lavender and teal, with touches of acid green and cream, but she had not let him in here. Perhaps the young people preferred lavender plush, but she hated it. Here in her own rooms, she could have it her way. Brighter colors, polished wood, carved chairs piled with pillows. She paused at her desk. Inlaid wood made a pattern of vines and flowers. Until she pressed the central blossom, it could have passed for an antique of old earth. The desktop cleared, showing the floor plan of that deck, with ghostly shadows of the others. A cluster of dots showed Ronnie and friends back in the lounge. A dot in her bedroom. That would be Myrtis, her maid. A dot for the captain in her quarters. A moving dot that must be Bates coming back. She touched her finger to that one.
Yes, madam?
Have Cook check the quantities Ronnie and his friends consumed last night. They seem to eat quite a lot.
Cook has estimated an additional 15% over your orders yesterday, madam, and has the purchase order ready for your stamp.
Thank you, Bates. She might have known. They were usually two steps ahead of her, but that was their duty. She flicked up the lower service deck on the display, found Cook's dot, and touched it. Cook transferred the purchase order to her desktop, and she looked at it. Even with six additional people aboard, it looked like enough to feed them all three times over. It would serve them right, she thought, if she made them eat survival rations until they got to Bunny's. Certainly it would cost less and take up less room. Cook had pointed out that they'd need to air up two more refrigeration units and set out another full section of Ponics. That would start another argument between crew side and staff side. The environmental techs were ship's crew, under the captain's command. Cecilia knew better than to interfere with her captain's crew. But that part of Ponics devoted to the kitchen came under the heading of gardening, which meant staff, her staff. Felix, head gardener, and two hoys, one female, kept her private solarium in fresh flowers, and cooks supplied with fresh vegetables. Felix and the environmental techs always got into some hassle which required her decision. One of the things she had not liked about her former captain was his tendency to let things slide until she had to quell an incipient riot in staff. She found Felix's icon, touched it, and told him about the Ponics section. He wanted to use half of it for a new set of exotics he'd bought seed stock for. The pictures of the so-called vegetables didn't impress her. Felix insisted, though, that if he could have seed available when they arrived at Bunny's, he could trade with Bunny's ferocious head gardener for her favorite and rarest mushrooms. Cecilia shrugged. Ronnie and his pals could eat the things she didn't like.
And what did you tell the moles, huh? You gotta let them know it's okay, whatever I grow.
I will tell Captain Serrano, our new captain, that I've approved your use of an additional Ponic section for fresh produce.
Yeah? They bother me. I'm sending them halibuts.
Felix would, too. He had done it before when displeased with someone. A genius of his type. But like most such geniuses, a trifle tempery. She put up with him for the luscious fruits and fresh vegetables, the abundant flowers, which so amazed those who came to dinner. No other yacht she knew of was completely self-sufficient in fresh produce. She looked again for the captain's icon and found it moving toward the bridge. Best not interrupt her now. She would have had the crew assembled. Cecilia's finger hovered over the control. She could easily listen in on the captain's first briefing, but she decided against it. Instead, she routed a message to the captain's desk about the Ponics and called up a credit status. The figures meant little to her. The reality was that she could afford to buy anything for sale on Rock House two or three times over. The desktop offered a bright-colored graphic which showed how much more she was spending to transport herself and six young people compared to herself alone. It didn't matter, and Berenice had transferred stock to cover it anyway. She called up Ronnie's status and pursed her lips. Berenice had put him on the Silver family line, and he had already used it. Harden's Clothiers, Vetris Accessories, Spaulding. He had started with two cubes of storage, and at this rate, would need another two.
Aunt Cecilia, please, I need to talk to you.
Ah, Ronnie, very good. I meant to ask you, did you bring your hunting tackle?
My what?
Your riding clothes, your saddles.
No, of course not. Aunt Cecilia, just because you're crazy enough to ride big stupid animals across rocks and mud...
I presumed that that was your rather large order at Harden's and Vestris's and Spaulding's. But since it wasn't, perhaps you'd return some of that foppery, whatever it was, and get yourself some decent riding kit. We are going to Bunny's, as you know, for the season. And since I'm saddled with you, you might as well saddle a horse and learn something useful.
She felt good about the pun. Puns usually came to her 4 hours too late, if at all. The fashion in invective, she was happy to discover, had swung once more from the rough crudities copied from the lower classes to an entertaining polysyllabic Baroque style. When Ronnie ran out of breath, which happened more quickly, she noted, with the longer words and phrases, she interrupted again before he could start another rampage.
I do not care that you do not like horses or riding, or that none of your set consider hunting a reasonable or enjoyable pastime. I do not care if you are miserable for the entire year of your exile. You may sulk in your cabin if you like. You will certainly not sulk in mine, or interfere with my pleasure one bit more than I can help. And if you do not order yourself the proper clothes, saddles, and so on, I shall do it for you and charge it to your account.
Although it would really make sense to wait until they were at Bunny's. All the really good saddlers came there for the season. But her blood was up, so it seemed was his.
Order what you like, but I am not about to pretend to copy the amusements of a horse-faced old spinster with more money than sense. I'll be damned if you ever find me on a horse chasing some innocent, helpless animal across the dripping fields.
If you think the fox is either innocent or helpless, young Ronald, you are more foolish than I think.
She was not sure which of them broke the connection. She did not care. She called her personal assistant at Spaulding's and arranged everything as she wished. Of course they knew all his measurements already, and of course they were happy to help a wealthy aunt surprise an almost as wealthy nephew. In a final burst of pique, she put the bill on her own account and not Berenice's. She wanted no questions from the doting mother who had let the brat become so useless.